Morning, church.
Morning.
Good to see all of you this morning at our 11 o'clock service. Glad to have you. Genesis 21 this morning, our next to last message in this sermon series on Abraham and his journey of faith. And hopefully this series has been a strengthening to you, an encouragement to you as you go through your own journey of faith. When we come to Genesis 21, just as we have sung about through our worship, one of the main things we're going to see and be reminded of today is that God is faithful. God is faithful. He's faithful in this chapter from beginning to end. We're going to see that He is faithful in our waiting, He is faithful in our warfare, and He is faithful in our wilderness experiences, just as He was with Abraham, Sarah, Hagar, and Ishmael. But something else we're going to see this morning is that we're seeing the progress that Abraham is making in his own faith. That even though we know in this series he has failed many times, he has struggled in his faith, that he kept walking with God. And his faith was being tested, just like our faith is tested every day. Every day we have an opportunity to either trust God or not trust Him. And Abraham was learning, even through his failure, I've got to learn to trust God more. So that's why when you come to this chapter, you see that there's that place where after Isaac is born, the word tells us that he circumcised Isaac 8 days after he was born, just as God told him to. He's obeying. And even when God asks him to banish and to send away Hagar and Ishmael, even though that's very hard for him, that's painful, that's difficult, he does it. He obeys the Lord even when God asks him to do something that's hard and difficult, because his faith is growing, because he's continuing to walk with the Lord even through his failures. I hope that will be an encouragement to you. Would you please follow along in your Bibles as I read the first 20 verses of Genesis 21. The Lord visited Sarah just as he had said he would, and he did for Sarah what he promised. So Sarah became pregnant and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the appointed time that God had told him. Abraham named his son, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him just as God commanded him to. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has made me laugh. Everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. She went on to say, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have given birth to a son for him in his old age. The child grew and was weaned. Abraham prepared a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah noticed the son of Hagar the Egyptian, the son whom Hagar had borne to Abraham, mocking. So she said to Abraham, banish the slave woman and her son, for the son of that slave woman will not be an heir along with my son Isaac. Sarah's demand displeased Abraham greatly because Ishmael was his son. But God said to Abraham, do not be upset about the boy or your slave wife. Do all that Sarah is telling you, because through Isaac your descendants will be counted. But I will also make the son of the slave wife into a great nation, for he is your descendant too. Early in the morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He put them on her shoulders, gave her the child, and sent her away. She went away, wandering aimlessly through the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she shoved the child under one of the shrubs. Then she went and sat down by herself across from him at quite a distance, about a bow shot away. For she thought, I refuse to watch the child die. So she sat across from him and wept uncontrollably. But God heard the boy's voice. The angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and asked her, what is the matter, Hagar? Don't be afraid, for God has heard the boy's voice right where he is crying. Get up, help the boy, and hold him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation. Then God enabled Hagar to see a well of water, an oasis. She went over and filled the skin with water and then gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy as he grew. I entitled this chapter, The Celebration of Abraham, because he does celebrate the birth of his son Isaac, this miraculous birth that only God could bring about when he's 100 and Sarah's 90. And he throws Isaac a feast, a celebration when he is weaned. But the more I prepared and saw how God was shaping my heart to share this message with you, I also have another title for this chapter as well. Not just the celebration of Abraham, but the crucible of Abraham. Because Abraham is in a crucible here in this chapter because of the things that he has to do that are difficult and that are hard and that are, again, shaping and strengthening his faith. He's being tested by God because a tested faith is a true faith. And he's learning to trust the Lord. And in this chapter, what you see is this sort of mixture of joy and painful circumstances at the same time. You have the joy of Isaac being born and the celebration of his miraculous birth. And at the same time, you have the pain that Abraham is going through in having to release Hagar and Ishmael, his own son. It sort of reminds me what Job said. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. And many times in our life, we experience the same thing that Abraham is experiencing. There are times where there's times of joy and pain sort of existing or coexisting together. And that's what we see here, both the celebration of Abraham and the crucible of Abraham. But I want us to see not only the progress that Abraham has made in his journey of faith, but I want us to see more than anything the faithfulness of God. And I want us first to go back to that first section of the chapter, and I want us to see God's faithfulness in the waiting. Because remember, when we come to this point, Abraham and Sarah have been waiting 25 years for the fulfillment of this promise. That's a long time to wait. And we as human beings don't like to wait. But when we're in the waiting room of God, we have to be reminded and understand that every time that God asks us to wait, there's a purpose for it. And we've even seen in this series with Abraham, the purpose was that God was showing his faithfulness and strengthening Abraham's faith through this 25-year period. Because remember, he's going to make Abraham the foundation and father of a great nation. Not only that, but when you come to the New Testament, we are taught as New Testament Christians that Abraham even stands as the father of all the faithful, including us, because he placed his faith in God. God declared him righteous by faith. So Abraham is a very significant person. And you have here in these first verses, in fact, in the very first verse, you have the repetition three times of how faithful God is, even in the waiting. Because notice it says that the Lord visited Sarah. I love that word. It means that God intervened in order to meet a need. Do you know God visits us regularly? He visits us corporately, he visits us personally and individually, and he comes into our lives and he intervenes in order to meet needs. Throughout this last 25 years of Abraham and Sarah's life, he has shown over and over again how faithful, how he has provided for them, how he has protected them, how he has cared for them, even when, like Abraham, failed and lied about his relationship with his wife and got he and Sarah in messes, in Egypt with Pharaoh, and in Gerar with the Abimelech, and yet God bailed them out. God delivered them. God was faithful. God was watching over them, because that's the kind of God that he is. God is a faithful God. And why does this chapter exist in the Bible? Because God wants to use it even today in our lives to remind us. Just as I was with Abraham and Sarah through the ups and downs of these last 25 years, I will be with you. I am the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And if I did this for Abraham and Sarah, I will and can do it for you. I am a faithful God. So notice in the very first verse, first of all, you have the phrase, he did for Sarah just what he told her he would do. God's faithful. God's trustworthy. God's promises will be fulfilled. Just as he told her he would do. God's the same God to us. Then later on in the verse, it says, he did for Sarah just what he promised. Because he will fulfill every promise that he gives to his people. God is a faithful God. God is a covenant-keeping God. God is true to his promises. You and I can count on the Lord. It might take a while. His timing is not our timing, but he will never renege on any of his promises. He will never renege on anything that he said in his word. He is a faithful God. So the final one then is, it says, he visited her and came to her and brought about the birth of Isaac at the appointed time that he told her. Because remember, in a couple chapters before this, he had appeared to Abraham and Sarah and he told them, at this same time next year, I will be back. And when I come back, you will have a child. So he's showing here how faithful of a God he is. And here comes the birth of Isaac. Abraham's 100 years old. Sarah's 90. But with God, all things are possible because he's faithful. And what may seem like it could never happen, with God, it can happen because of his faithfulness, of his dependability, of his reliability, of his trustworthiness. God wants us to learn to trust him while we're waiting. Again, all of us at times are asked by God to wait. It might not be 25 years, but God has purposes and plans for the waiting period, just as he did for Abraham and Sarah. And during that waiting, he wants us to live in hope, to live in anticipation and expectation that he will come through for us just as he promised, no matter how long it takes, because he's faithful. He's faithful. So here comes Isaac, and they name him what God told them to name him, laughter. Let's talk about that for a minute. You know, there's a lot of things in our mind, even as a Christian, that we think about when we think about the personality of God. But one of the things that I don't think we think about enough is that God laughs. Do you know that someday when you're in heaven with God, you're going to hear him laugh? God is a God of joy. God is the one who created laughter. God is the one who says in his word, a merry heart is like good medicine. God wants his people to be joyful. And Isaac's name would be a reminder to Abraham and Sarah. I am a God who not only is faithful and fulfills what I promised I would do for you, but I'm a God who wants to bring joy into your life. Because even Sarah says, who would have thought? You have turned my sorrow into joy. Remember, Sarah couldn't have children for most of her life. And now she's laughing. And now she's gathering other people around her, and they're laughing, and they're joyful because of what God and God alone could do. Do you realize the Bible teaches in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon says in the book of Ecclesiastes that God gives us the ability to find joy in the things of life? You ever think about that? No wonder so few people in this world are truly joyful, even Christians, because they're not finding their joy in God or allowing God to be the giver of joy and to enable them to find joy in the even the mundane routine things of life. God alone gives us joy. Joy comes from God. And so you see this joyous occasion. In fact, it tells us there that Abraham throws a big feast, literally a celebration for the birth of his son Isaac. And again, we see Abraham's obedience here. 8 days after he's born, he circumcises him just as the Lord told him to do. He has learned a lot of lessons along the way in his journey of faith. And one of them is, I just need to start doing what God's asked me to do. Things go so much better when I just trust the Lord and do what he's telling me to do. And yet, even though we see in this last 25 years how God has been so faithful, looking out, caring for them through the ups and downs, and even being faithful here as Isaac is born, in the midst of all this joy, here comes some warfare. Here comes some pain. And God wants us to see in this chapter, not only am I faithful in your times of waiting in life, but I am faithful through the wars that you're going to have to go through as a human being. Because every human being goes through relational struggles. And you see that taking place here. Even in the midst of this home, there's a lot of pain. There's a lot of tension. Because note what the Bible says. After Isaac was born, Sarah noticed that Ishmael was mocking. Now, this is more than just when Isaac was initially born, like, you know, Ishmael mocked his birth. This is telling us that this just started at his birth, and that in the years that followed, it got worse and worse and worse. In fact, Paul picks up on this incident in the Old Testament and teaches us something in the New Testament about this incident in the book of Galatians, chapter 4, verses 28 and 29. Interestingly, Paul says that Ishmael persecuted Isaac, persecuted him. There was now a war going on. And it wasn't just a physical warfare between these two brothers. There was a spiritual warfare going on. And yet God was going to show up and he was going to be faithful to help Abraham especially navigate this war that was taking place within his own home. Let me say this. I believe that it was very necessary for Ishmael and Hagar to be separated at some point in this family for this reason. I think Ishmael so resented the birth of Isaac and that Isaac was now on the scene, the one that all the promises of God were going to come to. I think there was such jealousy there, such bitterness there toward his own brother, that I believe had they been left in that home, that Ishmael would have taken his brother Isaac's life and murdered him. And you may think I'm overreacting. Let's not forget, there's already been a murder between two brothers at the beginning of this book. The first murder in the Bible is a brother killing a brother. And then later on in the book of Genesis, after this incident, you have the story of Jacob in exile, running for his life for 20 years from his brother Esau because he thinks he's going to kill him because he stole his birthright and he stole his blessing. I don't think I'm overblowing the situation to say this is maybe the reason why God said they need to separate. But there's also a spiritual principle here. Paul teaches us in Galatians, What is of the flesh, Ishmael, cannot coexist peaceably with what is of the spirit. What is of the law, what is of legalism, cannot coexist with what is of grace. They cannot coexist peaceably. There is no way in the Bible that God presents where we can mix law and grace, where we can mix flesh and spirit. It doesn't happen. It's either all of one or all of the other. They cannot coexist peaceably. And that's why Ishmael and Isaac were never going to be able to coexist peaceably. So there was this war going on in that home, in that family. Listen, all of us are part of a family. All of us are part of a larger family, the human race. And I believe as a Christian and even as a pastor of a local church that there's two primary places where our spiritual enemy is always trying to bring about wars: the church and the home. The church and the home. He's always attacking those two environments. And one of the things that we learn even in this story is that there are unhealthy, unsafe people in our family, sometimes even family members, friends, whatever, that we have to learn to put up boundaries for our own safety and protection, or to separate from for our own safety or protection, or for others' safety or protection. That's exactly the reason why you can know what's going through Abraham's mind. He's thinking to himself, you know, the last time I listened to my wife and did what she asked me to do, that got this whole thing started, right? Because she was the one long time ago that went to her husband 25 years earlier and said, why don't you take my handmaid Hagar and have a child through her? So I'm sure he's thinking when Sarah comes to him and says, banish her, I'm sure that wasn't from a spiritual place with Sarah. But no matter what her motivation was, God was faithful. Because I'm sure God understood Abraham's going to be questioning, what should I do here? Because obviously, Abraham loved Ishmael. Ishmael was his own son. So God comes to him very tenderly and comforts him and says, it's okay. Don't think of sending them away as something evil. It's not. It's all part of my plan and my purpose. You need to follow what Sarah has asked you to do. It's okay, because it's okay with me. So note, God's not expecting Abraham to do the right thing just based on what a human being's telling him to do. God is faithful in the wars that we go through. And God comes to Abraham and reassures him, I'm going to guide you. I'm going to direct you. I'm going to lead you how to deal with this warfare within your own family. And I'm telling you, Abraham, though it's going to be extremely and emotionally painful for you, you need to send them away. And again, I personally believe that though Abraham might not have ever believed it at this point especially, I think God knew if I let these two boys exist, one of them's not going to make it. That's how much animosity there was. That's why Paul uses the word Ishmael persecuted Isaac in Galatians chapter 4. You may be going through a war right now. We all do. We're all human, trying to coexist and be in relationships with other sinful people. And there's going to be times where we butt heads and we have conflict and we don't get along. We saw this even in the book of Acts between two great Christians, Paul and Barnabas, literally separated over their disagreement and their conflict with how they should deal with John Mark. And again, family was in play there because Barnabas and John Mark were related. So maybe Barnabas wasn't really looking at this objectively. We don't know for sure, but they parted. It happens. But what I want us to see is that God understands the reality of the warfare that we go through at times as human beings, with our friends, with our family members, with coworkers, with neighbors, whoever it is, our fellow Christians. There's times where we're going to go through those things, and sometimes we're dealing with very unhealthy, unsafe people, and we need to be willing to do what Abraham's being instructed to do. I need to put up boundaries. I need to protect. I need my family to be safe. I need separation here from this individual. God will lead you in those moments. God will guide you. God will direct you because he's a faithful God. He won't let you out there trying to figure it out for yourself. And don't listen primarily to what other people are telling you and how other people are telling you to deal with it. You be getting your direction from God as to how you are to deal with it. Then finally, a very tender and touching scene in this chapter, where we've already seen God is faithful in our waiting time. He's faithful in our times of warfare. He's also faithful to us when we feel like we're in the wilderness. Can you imagine again what emotionally is going through Abraham? And note something. Here we also see the progress in Abraham's faith, because the Bible says he didn't put this off. He didn't wait. It says early in the morning, he got up, got this food together, got this skin of water, and he put it on Hagar, and he sent them away. Do you know there's a principle here? The principle is do the hardest things first. I don't always practice this, but I have shared this with other people down through the years, whether it was just advice or in a counseling situation. Here's how I try to live my life. If I have the most difficult thing I have facing me that particular day, I try to do first. If I have a difficult thing that I need to deal with that week, I try to do it first of the week. If I have a difficult thing facing me that month, I try to do it the first of the month. Because the more you and I push it away and kick the can down the road, as we say, that just keeps hanging over us. Just deal with it. Get it done. Rip the Band-Aid off and move on. And that's what Abraham did. Because you can see the progress that he's making in his faith. And yet, God understood this was emotionally painful for Abraham. This was a difficult ask. But he has learned to trust his God. Because Abraham, even in saying goodbye to Hagar and Ishmael, he was releasing them into the care of God. That little bit of food and that skin of water, about 30 gallons, was only going to last them a day or so out in the wilderness, out in the desert. So he knew if God doesn't care for them, they're going to die. So I have to trust them. I have to release them into the care of my God. And that's exactly what Abraham does. So let's get to Hagar and Ishmael. The Bible tells us she begins to wander aimlessly in this wilderness. And soon the food and especially the water runs out. And both of these folks are getting dehydrated. In fact, the Bible tells us that this young man, Ishmael, which by the way, he would have been 14, 15 years old at this time. He wasn't a little baby. He wasn't a little child. He was a young teenage boy at this time. He was so severely hydrated that he couldn't even move. In fact, Hagar's like, I don't even want to watch him die. So I'm going to hide him underneath this shrub because I can't watch my boy take his last breath. That's how desperate she was at this point because she was in the wilderness. You and I have been in the wilderness at times in our life where we feel abandoned, exposed, vulnerable. Nobody's around. I'm in this all by myself. Who's going to provide for me? Who's going to protect me? I mean, think about it. Just 24 to 48 hours earlier, she's in the family. All her needs are being met by Abraham and Sarah being part of the family. And now she's out on her own with her teenage boy. How's this going to work? You see. We've all had those wilderness experiences in our life where we feel all alone. We don't feel seen. We don't feel heard. We feel abandoned. We feel vulnerable. We feel desperate. It's like, God, I got nobody. And if you don't show up, me and my boy are going to die. Ah, but God is faithful, isn't he, in our wilderness experiences? Because it says God heard the boy crying. God spoke to her from heaven and said, Hagar, what's the matter? Don't be afraid. Remember, I made you promises a while ago. Have you forgotten those promises? Remember when you told me the Lord sees me because I appeared to you when you left the first time, and I reassured you that your son was going to be, again, the start of many nations, and that I was going to watch over him, and you all were going to be okay? Have you forgotten what I said to you? Yeah, I think she did, because you know what? We do too. Sometimes we forget the promises that God has made to us. And I think she was in a bad way because her circumstances became all-consuming. That's all she could see is, we're going to die out here in this wilderness, desert place. But God appeared, and God said, I see you, I hear you, I care about you and your boy, and I will provide for you. And the Bible says that God enabled her to see this oasis where her and her boy could get rehydrated and have this life-sustaining water. Now, I don't know whether that oasis was always there and whether she in her pain and in her suffering and in this turmoil that she was going through just couldn't see what was right in front of her, because sometimes that's the case with us, or whether God supernaturally just brought this about and she was able to go, oh, God now has provided me this oasis. I don't know how he did it, but I just know he was faithful in doing it. He took care of Hagar and Ishmael when there was no one else to take care of them, when they were out there in the wilderness, wandering, getting ready to take their last breath. And let me say this to you moms especially, because I mentioned this at 9 o'clock. Did you notice that this teenage boy, just as like he's done, he's sort of on life support, but Mom Hagar sort of just keeps going? That's the way moms are. You know, your children can sort of be done, and you moms can, you can take it up to another gear. You got like superpowers as moms. You know, you can just keep going whenever everybody else around you just doesn't have that extra gear. That's where Hagar was at. Because here's her teenage boy just ready to take his last breath, and she's still trying to hold it together. And then notice in verse 20, the Bible tells us again about the faithfulness of God in the wilderness. God was with the boy as he grew. Because that's who our God is. Our God is faithful in our times of waiting. Our God is faithful in our times where we're going through wars in our life, relational wars, and he guides and he directs and he leads us through those times. And he's faithful in our wilderness wanderings when we're desperate, when we feel all alone, when we feel exposed and vulnerable. God is faithful through it all. So I want to ask you this morning, I believe that this chapter is included in the Bible for this reason. God wants to use chapters like this to remind all of us, I am a faithful God. You can trust me. So Abraham was learning, I can trust my God. God is asking us today, will you and I trust him? Maybe some of you are going through a time of waiting in your life, and it's hard, but God is saying, trust me in your waiting. Some of you may be going through some wars right now in your life, and God is saying to you, trust me through this war. I'll get you through. Some of you may be in a wilderness right now, just like Hagar. And God is saying to you, trust me, I'm also the God in the wilderness. I'm going to ask Nicole and our worship team to come, and I'm just going to ask you all to remain seated while they come, because I want to offer what I offered at 9 o'clock. I want to ask if some of you would be willing to make a declaration, a profession, a proclamation of faith, of trusting in God at this moment in your life. Whether you're going through a time of waiting, a time of warfare, or a time in the wilderness, would you be willing to step out through this as we sing this worship song to God and come up here to the front and just say publicly, I am making, again, a declaration, a profession, a proclamation that God, I'm going to trust you in this moment of my life. For those of you that come, whether it's one or five or however many come, then after our worship song is over, I'm going to come out and I want to pray a prayer over all of you who have come this morning. Would you stand with me? Father, I pray today that all of us, God, have been reminded and encouraged to trust you. You are a God that no matter what we go through and who we go through it with, you are faithful. We can count on you every second, every moment of our life to be there. You've got us, and you never let us go. You never deny us or disown us. You never abandon us or forsake us. You are there for us at every turn of our life. Just as you have been with Abraham, with Sarah, with Hagar, and with Ishmael. So God, may we be encouraged today through the worship songs that we've already sung, and through your word today, to step out in faith and say, I want to publicly declare before my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that I'm going through something, as we all do, and I'm just trusting you, God, in the midst of it. I'm trusting you to get me through. These things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.